Asked to name the five top American alliances, most of Washington's power brokers would almost certainly include Turkey, a country with a Muslim heart, but a secular way of doing business and conducting its foreign policy. With its double-digit growth rate, and unlike its European neighbors, Turkey has sailed through the financial storms of the last decade. Lately, though, the Turkish engine seems to be misfiring. Its strong currency has dipped. Prime Minister Erdogan appears to spend more time putting out internal political fires, and the mood of Turks seems souring. How serious are these developments? I asked my guest today. İlhan Solut is the well-known currency strategist for Brown Brothers Harriman. He is known for his expertise of emerging markets and their currencies. Mr. Solut keeps a close watch on a number of countries, including Turkey. He spoke to me from his offices in London. Mr. Solut, headlines last few days have been full of these interest rate increases in Turkey, and I don't understand why these esoteric things are making headlines. Do you have any thoughts?
Yes, I do. Well, I mean, I think everything starts when just a few years back when the central bank started changing the way it conducts monetary policy. And it basically created what is considered, compared to the canon of monetary policy these days, a bit of a baroque system. And initially confused investors, but and then people kind of got used to it. Uh-huh. But that put the central bank and the entire relationship with the financial community a bit in a back foot. And now fast forward a few years later, now the emerging markets are under pressure. Turkey is under political pressure as well for internal reasons, and you get a situation in which the market is asking for Turkey to take some measures to shore up its credibility,
right,
especially given the depreciation of the lira, and then it fails to do so in its official meeting. It basically keeps rates on hold when markets thought it should probably be hiking rates to defend the lira.
Right.
So there was a strong depreciation of the lira, and then they suddenly turned around and changed their minds and announced an extraordinary meeting 2 days later in which they hiked rates. So that's where the headlines were focused on.
All of this begs a big question. When Prime Minister Erdogan's government came into power a decade, 11 years ago, if you look at it now, Turkey seems to be the model of Middle Eastern success or Middle Eastern slash European success or the bridge, whatever you may want to call it. And so the country is more stable, the GDP is almost doubled, businesses increasing, orders of magnitude. I mean, that's the impression we all had of Turkey a year ago. So what happened? It seems to be fraying in parts.
I think your last description is perfectly accurate, fraying in parts. And I think it's a chipping away of credibility in many of the areas. For example, Erdogan was undoubtedly seen as a stable and popular leader not too long ago,
right,
before the big mini revolt relating to the park, which was obviously just a trigger. So that started to chip away his political stature. And then you had the corruption scandals more recently, which made things even worse.
Yes.
And at the same time, I believe that Erdogan is making a very big mistake by fighting too many battles at the same time. And he became also overly antagonistic against financial markets. So now he's fighting this public opinion battle and he's fighting the markets. He started accusing speculators in a very, very, which I believe is very anachronistic type of rhetoric.
When you say too many battles, what do you mean?
The recent turbulence in financial markets just adds to the stress that Turkey is already suffering internally.
Ah.
And Turkey could have, for example, chosen to, well, you know, since we have internal problems, let's deal with these first, and let's just play with the markets for now and try to stabilize markets. But instead, Erdogan decided to push back against both markets and domestically with his internal political situation. So those are two battles simultaneously he was fighting.
And
the market is playing against them, and internally the situation is deteriorating politically. So that's what I mean.
That points to another area, which is that a whole lot of people, when the so-called Arab Spring began, were thinking of Turkey as a model that would be followed. And especially in the United States, there was great hope because of our alliance, the U.S. alliance with Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
You think that still holds? Do you think that Turkey still looks like the shining knight in armor that others can fall behind and charge into a bright, democratic, secular, ever-increasing business future?
That's an interestingly leading question. I like the way you frame it. I would say that conceptually, yes. I mean, the model is still conceptually makes sense of, as you mentioned, this kind of moderate Muslim state in which
yes.
you have secularism combined with religion. And it's, I think, as conceptually is a good model. Obviously, it would never be applied identically in every country, but I think it still holds. I think what we saw in Turkey is a real domestic problem, and I think it's not too different in many ways to what you're having in other non-Muslim emerging market countries, in which you have the governments becoming overly too much interference in the media and too much controlling. I mean, I'll give you just an example. Very recently, there was a big standoff between a talk show in Turkey, a popular talk show, in which one of the contenders had to guess this four-letter word, which is a slang for corruption.
Mm.
And Erdogan didn't like this at all, and the talk show went off air the next day.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That's,
so that happened in December. So that was one example of how the relationship between Erdogan and the media and the people is starting to fray, as you mentioned.
But you know what I find interesting is that if you look at where Turkey was in the period of military coups, and you look at what the Justice and Development Party did, they were able to get the support of the mass of the people. They were able to peg the military and get rid of the coups. At least I think they did, and bring financial, economic stability to a large mass of people. And Erdogan was the one who led this. So do you think that his stature and his leadership, which really should have gone down in history books, is tarnished now?
I think in many ways it is. And I think especially this sensation that he's a little bit out of touch,
uh-huh.
particularly with the more urban, affluent groups of people in Istanbul. I mean, we're going to have elections very soon, and both local and parliamentary elections this year. And I think this will be a sign of exactly what you mentioned. I think he did tarnish. I don't think it's hopeless, but certainly tarnished.
In closing, I wanted to see if you can put any kind of sense behind this whole Gulen mystique. Now, I think our listeners would be really interested if you have a couple of seconds to talk about what Gulen means in this whole Turkish formula.
Yeah, it's a little bit mysterious, I think, especially for the outsiders like us, even the people who look at it closely. I think it's a growing influence. And I think it behind the scenes, it impacts a lot of what is happening. But I also think there's sometimes a little bit of exaggeration. I know quite a few people try to tie some of the rhetoric of the markets with Gulen, and I think sometimes it becomes a little bit of a stretch, and it can become almost a bit of a straw man argument in some ways. So I think while it's important, it's also one has to be careful not to overstate it. I think a lot of the problems that Turkey is having and this opposition against Erdogan is very homegrown, really. And while Gulen can play a role, it should not be overstated.
You've been listening to a conversation with Mr. Ilan Solot on behalf of the Foreign Policy Association. This is Sarwar Kashmiri. Thank you for listening.